From the Roots Up, CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto.
And this is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I am Phil Taylor. And with me is Phil Conlon of Classical Undergrounds, Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m.
Good evening, Phil.
He's looking for his notes or something.
No, I got mine.
Can you, by the way, can you read that thing? I mean, I'm not asking, I just want to know, can you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got some announcements. I want just little heads up there. Actually, I suppose we could do it. I want to just say, on the show today, we're going to talk, of course, about the resumption of the bombing of Gaza. There is no war with Hamas. There's a bombing of Gaza going on. That is not a war, what we're watching. But it's unfortunate. The ceasefire, a temporary one, has been set aside. Hostage and prisoner exchange has ceased. We'll talk about that a little later on. Also, we have the news that the United Auto Workers, the largest American industrial union, has issued a statement calling for a permanent ceasefire, which is big news. And so Phil and I will be talking about that. We also have, we're going to hear the voice of one of the leaders. So that will be... Those are matters to be going into as well. We have some new information about our famous Michaels. I guess we can now call them the One Michaels, and we'll explain why. You can look on the front page of today's Globe and Mail for a little reference, and you don't have to really do that. I'll tell you what it's on the front page. And anyway... To begin with, we're really sorry to announce the passing of Faustin Twagiri Mungu, who was the Prime Minister of Rwanda, the interim. When I say interim, Faustin Twagiri Mungu is an important historical figure in modern Rwanda. Probably to identify him best, I guess you have to say that in 1994, he was part of the new government that was formed under the auspices of the Rwandan Patriotic Army. When that army seized power, they cobbled together a government. That's my opinion, cobbled together a government. Faustin was the prime minister. Seth Sendashonga was the Minister of the Interior. And Faustin is a tragic figure in many ways because he represented what people thought was going to be a broad democratic regime government. It never happened. And approximately 1 year after taking the job, which turned out to be nominal rather than authoritative, Faustin felt in danger for his own life because he had made the mistake of thinking he was the prime minister, and discovering that the power was in the hands of someone called the vice president. As he told me on one occasion, there's nothing in the Constitution about a vice president, but he said they called him the vice president. That would be General Kagame, who had entered the country in 1990 at the head of the RPF. But there had been the Arusha Accords, and it was true that the Arusha Accords had agreed that Faustin Twagiri Mungu would have been the representative of his party at that time, the MDR, and was slated for a I used the word interim accidentally at the top of the show, at the top of my remarks. But there was to be an interim government, and then there was going to be an election held. And the people of Rwanda in April of 1994 were looking forward to an election where a new government with multi-party system would begin. But the president of the country was assassinated, President Habyarimana. And there was a subsequent war and terrible massacres of civilians. And following that, there was still this attempt to have what they called a multi-party government, but it didn't last long. Seth Sendashonga, the Minister of the Interior, close friend of Faustin Twegiri Mungu, was assassinated May 16th, I believe, 1998. I can tell you with some accuracy because I was in Nairobi the day he was killed. I had been myself as an investigator for defense lawyer Tiffen Dixon. I had been there attempting to make contact with him. Other lawyers had been, other investigators had been talking to him. And he was murdered in his automobile. We interviewed his widow on this show, Siri Sendashonga. That was pretty much the bloody marking point for anybody who was honest about it as to what the reality was of political power in Rwanda and the reach, the murderous reach of those governing in Kigali. There were to be more martyrs abroad, and including that of Patrick Karegeya in South Africa, all of them always headlines, but never affecting the current ship of state as it floats along in Kigali. Faustin Twegiri Mungu, I kidded him. He was on our show. He was very kind to give us several interviews. He was a very well-spoken man, quite an amiable individual. He was very helpful to me in my work as an investigator in various cases. And I told him, I said, you're more of a Canadian than most of the Canadians I know because you studied in Canada for, I think he was here for 6 years of study, and he had picked tobacco in southern Ontario. And I said, if you pick tobacco in southern Ontario in the summertime, you ought to be given honorary citizenship. He was, in his basic political outlook, I'd call him a social democrat in his views. He was anti-colonial, and he certainly understood the history of Africa and the struggle against colonialism. It's just unfortunate that he becomes, in remembering him, an individual who tried, I would say, to straddle the movement to have democracy in Rwanda when the reality was the power of an army and of its leader, and that army and its leader have not loosened their grip on power since 1994. Victoire Ingabire, who we also spoke to on the Taylor Report, has commented that Faustin was a great Democrat, and it is a loss. Certainly, he has to be studied, I think, as a historical figure, if you want to understand what occurred, because most people, all they know is that there was this massacre labeled genocide, whatever you want to call it. It's a huge loss of life, but people sort of may begin and end with the events of 1994. And if you want to really know what occurred in 1994, and you wanted to do it, as some people study history by looking at biographies, you could look at the life of Faustin Toguirimungu. His is not widely known, I suppose, outside of circles who study or look at the events of 94 and then study, want to know about Rwanda, Burundi, etc. He was the son-in-law of the best known, I guess he was the officially, I shouldn't say officially, the second president of Rwanda, Kayabanda. I think the distinction is he was the first one for whom they held an election. But Kayabanda looms very large in Rwanda history because he for assumed power approximately, I'm going to say, 61, and he was removed in 1973, and Faustin was married to his daughter, whom I had the pleasure to meet, I remember meeting his son. You know, I had to look forward. I was hoping to be talking to him again because there's always, you know, there is the spark still flying off Rwanda, and we hear of one kind of episode or another. Someone is, as in the case of Karageya, was assassinated, and Faustin was the kind of individual you spoke to learn about what was going on. He was kind enough and courageous enough to testify in the case of Pastor Taki Rutamana. You can look him up in the history books. The lawyer in the case, lawyers, were Ramsey Clark and Ed Medveen, later David Jacobs of Toronto. And Faustin, I recall I introduced Faustin to Ed Medveen and to Ramsey Clark. And while he had indicated sympathy for any defense counsel approaching him, he loomed as a rather crucial figure in events, and so I think he was waiting for the right time to testify. And when he met Ramsey Clark, he said, "I will come." It was the first time he had testified, to my knowledge, in any case. Well, I can say that authoritatively, I guess. He testified in that case. He was brought as an expert, and it might amuse people, listeners, to know that the prosecution wanted to challenge him on the grounds that whether he was an expert. They preferred a sub-professor in political science at the University of Buffalo, who was the reigning authority and called the expert. That would be Alison DeForge. She testified that as an expert many times over, and I watched the court roll at her feet and try to, you know, show how much they were in awe of her. But when they saw an actual former prime minister of the country, who was fluent in English and French, Kinyarwanda, Swahili, they said, "Oh, we don't think this man's an expert, Your Honor. And we think, we want to challenge whether he should be here as an expert." But meanwhile, I watched Alison DeForge. Some defense counsel said, "You've written this enormous book on Rwanda, and you've been there several times, but not a lot, by the way. It's kind of overrated, the amount of time she was there." But he said, "Do you speak Kinyarwanda?" And she said, "I can order bananas, but I can't read papers." So the woman who could order bananas in Kinyarwanda was the awesome expert for whom the court could not show enough love and regard. And Faustin Toguirimungu was, they said, "Well, we're not sure he's an expert." And by the way, they did it to the second gentleman, too, by the way, the leader of the White Fathers, retired leader of the White Fathers, Serge de Sauter, who I really, really, really admire. By the way, you would not know them in here. De Sauter functioned in French, but he also was absolutely fluent, can you wonder, and had written many, many books on this, really authoritative books on Rwanda. He, too, was considered, at least challenged. They didn't want him to testify. Ramsey bore all this with great patience. But again, I'm just outlining it. I was very pleased with him. And in terms of his political choices in his career, I'm interested in what those choices were, and I know what the political choices of others were who among the Rwandans who differed with him, and I respect all of them. I'm from abroad, so I listen to them, I have to say that as somebody on twin roles as an investigator, I thanked him for opening his house to me for conversations and for guiding me and finding witnesses and evaluating them, and then also for the fact that he came and testified. But lastly, and we do have some record of all of our interviews, that Faustin was a wonderful guest on the Taylor Report. And my favorite line from him at any time, because he used it often, if I would ask him a difficult question about somebody he didn't exactly approve of, he would always say, "Ooh la la, ooh la la." As if, please don't make me talk about that man or that subject. He died on December the 2nd, and this is, am I right, the 4th. So we're sorry about him, and the loss, and we'll probably be talking to some on the show about him. Maybe we'll look for the possibility of that Siri Sendashonga perhaps might want to talk about him. He was a senior gentleman.